Well, if I were to say to you a word from the Greek language, from Koine Greek, from ancient Koine Greek, would you understand what it was? Litho-boleo. Let's try it together. Litho-boleo. It's a verb. If you kind of take it apart, maybe you can start to understand what it means. Lith or litho. Rock. Rock. And then boleo is actually the verb to throw, to hurl. So litho boleo. It's to throw, not merely toss, but to cast or hurl with force, with purpose, with the intent to harm. Litho boleo is to stone, to kill a human being. In biblical times, it was often associated with what a mob would do. People sort of crazed. People who were angry and frightened and threatened. This kind of raw and uncontrolled reaction, even this savage brutality that would break out against a person. Litho boleo. A public act in which the ones casting stones assume that a justification for the act is there. Litho boleo is this longing to destroy, to remove, to save one's self from the one who posed the threat, to protect oneself from that one who, deserves the punishment. Now, in ancient times, it was reserved for the most offensive of crimes. You would stone someone, you would litho boleo them, who was an adulterer. You would stone someone who was a traitor, a blasphemer, an ugly business. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Stephen gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God. He said, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God, but what did the people do? They covered their ears, and with a loud cry of their own, they all rushed in together, grabbed the man, grabbed Stephen, dragged him out of the city. You couldn't do this in town. You'd have to do it out beyond the gates. And the witnesses there laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. And while they were stoning Stephen, he prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice of his own, Lord, do not hold this against them. And when he said this, he died. Who were these monsters? What kind of people would do that? Are they folks who would sharpen their teeth and then try to scare little children at night? These awful and violent and what Luke calls enraged people, how could they be so mistaken? How could they be so cruel? What kind of people were they? Maybe they were just people. Take that and you can maybe look at it a little while and pass it around. You know, people who thought they were just doing the right thing. Ken, would you just hold that a little while and then give it to her? People who were doing what they imagined was the expected thing to do. This is the kind of stuff that you have to do when people like Stephen do what they did. People with kids of their own. People with problems of their own. Just people. Maybe people with something at stake. Karen, would you just hold that a while and look at it and then maybe pass it around? People who were, maybe frightened. People who were prejudiced. People who were angry, do you think? Here, would you take that and then give it to your mother? What kind of people were these? People like my neighbors? People like my friends? Maybe they were people just like me, just like you. People who, given other circumstances, may have behaved differently. But even as Stephen's body crumbled and his skin tore and his bones broke, there's something beautiful mixed in. The heavens open and he sees God. And even as he's losing consciousness, what's his last act? Is to pray. He prays to Jesus with a prayer that he learned from Jesus. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Even as Stephen's last breath escapes his lungs, he manages one last word. People of faith are still persecuted in this world. Right now, in places on our planet, there are Christians and Jews, there are Sikhs and Muslims and Hindus who are, because of their faith, targets. Targets not just of rebuke, but of assault and torture and even death. Right now, in the world, there are places where, well, frankly, it is the Christians. It is the Jews and the Sikhs and the Muslims and the Hindus, and they're the ones that are doing the persecuting. Where are those rocks? I probably carry around some stones myself. Rocks. Rocks that I'm ready to use, ready to litho-baleo. Well, maybe not literal rocks, not ready to bash out brains, but rocks just the same. Rocks that represent deep and dark and secret things. One of my heaviest rocks is my self-righteousness. Do you have a rock like that? It's a pretty good one because it helps me imagine that I'm better than you are. I keep that one because it makes me feel smarter than you are, more important than you are, more moral than you are, more generous than you are. I think that I love my kids more when I have that rock. Yep, it's a big one. But I have other ones too. Another of my rocks is called resentment. Do you have that rock? Resentment. I have a good memory. My memory is too good. I recall things, I recall events, I recall people. I remember those times when somebody made me feel embarrassed, when somebody made me feel threatened, when I, well, was made to feel as if someone took something important from me, like a 1994 Honda Accord in the middle of the night on Sunday, April the 2nd, 2000, twice. Are you carrying a rock today? Yeah. Ready to litho-baleo. I've got a bunch of them. Another one's called entitlement. I got a little one called narcissism. Another one, bigotry. Another one, self-loathing. Oh, I got a big one that's called sloth. I got a basket full of them. Maybe you do too. Like the people just outside the gate in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. I'm grinding my teeth. I'm covering my ears. I'm trying to find someone in front of whom I can lay down my coat. Someone who I imagine would, oh, set things right again. Maybe make the trains run on time. Someone who might put me back in charge of things. Or at least get my Honda back. I'm ready. All too ready with my basket of rocks. Luke says that Stephen gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God. In Luke's gospel, there's a story at the end where he tells another story. It's right after the death of Jesus, after the burial of Jesus there in the tomb, and the women go to the tomb early in the morning, in the wee hours, expecting to anoint the body, expecting to pray, to what? And then terribly disturbed, what do they find? They find that the stone has been rolled away. Where are those rocks? Where are those rocks? There's one. They went to the tomb and they found that the stone had been rolled away, that someone had taken it. Kevin, would you go to work? Would you go collect those rocks? Kevin's going to be the rock remover. The angel rolls the stone away, and then the glory of God. This resurrected Christ is perceived. The tomb is empty, and this one who would take away the heaviest things in our lives is now in charge. How many you got, Kevin? Have you got resentment yet? No, it's still out there. Okay. Maybe there's narcissism. Maybe there's entitlement. I don't know what rock you got. Put it in the basket, because God is this great rock remover. Amen.